Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
Welcome to the podcast. This is your host, Seth Green. Today, I've got the good fortune to be joined by Carl Alomar. Carl, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Seth. Nice to be here.
It is nice to have you. You are up to some really cool stuff. Tell everybody a little bit about what you're doing.
So I'm managing partner at a fund called M13. We invest early stage technology startups, generally Series A core investments, and doing a lot of really interesting things in a bunch of different categories.
All right, so let's go back in time a little bit. How did you get started?
So I'm not an investor by trade. That's something that I've just taken on in the last 3.5 years. But I've spent 20 plus years kind of building or founding, building, running companies. Three really of note. I started as an engineer, just basically by training and by education. And then started my first company actually in the late 90s, 97. Ended up selling that in 2000. Stayed with the company for another year. And then went and did an MBA after that. I built a fintech business, ended up selling that in 2010, got it to about $140 million in revenue. And then following that business, I ultimately joined a company called DigitalOcean, where I actually took the COO role rather than the CEO role I had in the previous two, and helped build that company really from the ground up. During my time there, over about 6 years, we built it to about $250 million run rate. But since then, we got it ready to go public. It's gone IPO. Now it's, you know, more than double that size and doing incredibly well. EBITDA positive, cash flow positive, and growing at, you know, 35%+ year over year. So just a really, really great business.
Congratulations. That's incredible. An incredible success right there. How did your involvement in M13 come about?
Yeah, so I, as I said, I had been, I ended up at DigitalOcean for almost 6 years, but about a year before I actually finally decided to leave, you know, a couple of old friends of mine were courting me, Katra and Courtney Riem, who are the founders of M13. They had built their first fund and had had a lot of success with it, and they were courting me to come with them and kind of help build an infrastructure for a more institutional kind of disruptive fund. And being an entrepreneur as I am, it was always a thought of, you know, interesting, would love to work in a fund, would love to invest, would love to work with other founders, but it's got to feel disruptive. It's got to feel entrepreneurial. It can't be just a run-of-the-mill venture fund. And so we spent that year really architecting it out. And at the point where I kind of had to make a decision of whether I was going to join them full-time or not was the point at which we were prepared to go IPO. We were hiring in a new CEO to take us IPO, and I was being presented with the option of either sticking around for 4 years or, you know, making a decision to leave. And so my decision ultimately was that I didn't think economically made sense for me to stick around for 4 years. And the M13 opportunity was really exciting to me. And so I took that step and transitioned to a very, very different lifestyle, very, very different job.
Congratulations on that. So Let's talk about that. What does a day look like for you?
So I do now, honestly, if you ask my wife, she said, this is what I've always wanted to do all my life. I work now essentially spending time and meeting with inspirational young leaders that are building the businesses and technologies of the future. So my day generally consists of working hand in hand with founders on helping them navigate and strategize how they're going to build their businesses. Now that's filled in with conversations with new businesses that we're interested in participating with. Obviously, I'm the managing partner, so there's a lot of day-to-day operational stuff that I have to do. But really, the essence of what I do is working with this portfolio of incredible, inspirational founders that I'm just excited to be working with every day. And, you know, every time you see them achieve their goals and realize their vision, and you know that you've been part of that story, it's just incredibly gratifying.
Who's an ideal candidate for you?
The general theme of an ideal candidate, someone's got to be inspiring. They've got to, obviously, there's all these table stakes, right? So the business itself has to be a good business model, has to make sense. It has to be a category in a market that we're excited about. But fundamentally, you're investing in the person. And the person has to be inspirational. They have to be, you know, that unique capability of just getting stuff done that you can't imagine in a normal world would happen. So when I see these founders that, we're setting impossible tasks for, and they're going out there and they're just executing them, and you think this person will break down walls, this person will do whatever it takes to build their vision, then that's really the inspiration. That's the type of founder we get excited about, and the type of founder that I really want to get behind and support and help. Often we see relatively young founders, which is great for me because I love being able to share at least the learnings I've had in my life to help them navigate mistakes that I made that hopefully they can avoid. And so that's where I think the greatest value is. But then obviously from time to time, you get to work with some really experienced founders, which in itself is more of just a clean partnership and just kind of brainstorming, strategization type approach. And that in itself is also obviously very exciting.
Excuse me. Absolutely. So you've been there several years. What's been, one of your favorite projects that you've worked on?
Okay. So that's very, very interesting. I love them all so much. It's like, which is your favorite child, right? There's never an answer. I think there are some really interesting ones. There's a company called Lightning Labs. It's a layer 2 protocol that sits on top of Bitcoin that allows you to transact in the Bitcoin environment in real time. The CEO is named Elizabeth Stark. She's an incredibly powerful and impassioned CEO, has, an incredible ability to navigate the markets and navigate her network to kind of build what she wants to build. And this business, when we first invested in them, was really just kind of a little bit of a pipe dream, just minimal numbers, minimal metrics, but just incredible founder, an incredible CTO founder alongside her. And we just believed that what they were building, and we believed in their ability to do things that were just incredibly unique. Since then, we helped them with thinking about how they're building their org structure, thinking about how they're implementing data into their decision making, thinking about some product evolution, like a whole bunch of different areas of how they build their business. And just really excited to see, we were able to increase our ownership round to round and get, put more money in behind them as we saw them continue to break ground and execute on the task in hand. And ultimately at this point, their most recent valuation has been north of $1 billion. They're continuing to grow and just seeing a huge potential outcome for them as a business. But outcome aside, just the excitement to see something that really started as just a germination of a concept and really see it evolve into something really meaningful, really disruptive in the category is super exciting.
That is exciting. You mentioned earlier helping them avoid mistakes you've learned about along the way. I think that's, it's easier to learn to avoid others' mistakes than just to copy success. It's not as necessarily easy to copy if you don't know how they did it. What have been some of the mistakes that you've been able to help some of your founders avoid?
A lot of them generally around growth and especially organizational growth. So we definitely made a handful of mistakes at DigitalOcean. You know, we hired 100 engineers in 2014, you know, once we got our Series A from Andreessen Horowitz. We were growing so fast, you know, everybody was just basically heads down saying, we just need resources. And we really did the process, executed on that process inefficiently, no structure, no organization, just, hey, let's go find engineers wherever we can find them and just put them in a, you know, in a pile. And through that year, we hired 100 engineers. We probably lost over 50% of them. And the problem is the ones you lose are the good ones. And so we ultimately had a very much a kind of a cultural crisis in the organization. And, you know, by the end of the year, we had the internal intervention of our own that we did at the executive level and just basically decided we need to do things different. And come 2015, we reinvented our approach towards hiring, reinvented our approach towards organizational design, reinvented our approach towards communication and culture development. And within a year, I think by the beginning of 2016, we were voted like number one place to work in New York on cranes or something like that.
Wow.
So the turnaround from 2014 to the beginning of 2016 was night and day. And so what that told me was that hiring and building an organization isn't just about throwing resources at the problem. It is a design effort. It is really is an effort to figure out who are the right people, how do we onboard them, how do we build the culture, how do we make sure that people are really engaged and delivering at 100%. And I think for most of the companies that we've seen that have really started seeing success and growing at a high pace, that's been one of the most valuable lessons that we've imparted upon them. And the thing that the founders don't think about, you know, they don't necessarily recognize if they haven't built big organizations before, they don't recognize the pitfalls that come with that. So that's probably a pretty easy example of something that's repeated itself a bunch of times.
You, M13, talk a little bit about the structure. Is there only one fund, or are there multiple funds, or some of them open, some of them closed?
Yeah, so we're on our third fund. We're still investing out of the second fund, but only for only out of reserves, so only in existing portfolio companies. Fund three is all new investments. It's $400 million fund. We do our standard check, you know, our core check is $5 to $15 million. We like to lead the Series A, but we will come in earlier and kind of co-lead a seed investment or something, anywhere from $1 to $4 million. So we do have a breadth of different types of investments in there. And we're really focused on, you know, we differentiate ourselves because we're very, very operational. We built a team of about 40 people. Most of the team is actually oriented purely on helping founders in our portfolio. So rather than being heavily weighted on the front end investment team, we're actually heavily weighted on the back end operational team. We have kind of a, you know, SWAT team, investment team that's just very good at finding very good businesses that we want to be a part of. And then ultimately, our relationship with these founders is horizontal across the whole company, and we have multiple facets of experience. And, you know, my level of executive experience across multiple functions that really works hand in hand with them and helps them navigate how to build their businesses more effectively. And so that's something that we're very proud of. We're able to do it at a much younger stage than most funds can do it, because we've honestly directly invested in doing that out of our own pockets rather than fund management fees. And we believe that that's going to create better outcomes. And we believe that founders also appreciate that and love that. And I think that's reflected in our brand and in the NPS we get from our founders and kind of exactly what we're doing in that regard.
How do you source deal flow? How are these companies finding you?
You know, there's always the cold inbound where people just write to us and send things in. And once in a blue moon, those actually, you know, hit the mark. And you're like, wow, I don't know where this came from, but it's fantastic. But I would say most of our best deals come through relationships, networks, referrals, you know, founders' relationships that we know, founders not only that are in our portfolio, but founders that honestly we didn't invest in, that just really enjoyed the experience with us. And then, you know, other GPs out there that are investing and want us to be part of the deals with them because they recognize the value that we bring into the relationship. So yeah, referrals are probably the biggest way in which we source the best companies, but there's always kind of this direct inbound kind of bucket of businesses that are actually can sometimes be very interesting.
For our folks, just to be clear, we are not making any solicitations or recommendations about investing on this podcast. But for our folks who want to learn more about what it is that you are doing, how do they get in touch with you? How do they learn more?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to find me is probably on LinkedIn. So just Carl Alomar on LinkedIn, and we post a bunch of stuff there. M13 is also on LinkedIn. But then you can also email us at M13. It's m13.co is the website. So you can either go through the website or you can email me directly, which is carl@m13.co. And that's probably the best way to reach out to us.
All right. Well, this has been Seth Green with Carl Alomar of m13.co. Carl, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Seth. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. We will see you or talk to you next time.
Do you need money to fund your idea, product, or service? Are you ready to take your business to the next level but need capital to get it done? Kevin Harrington has heard more than 50,000 pitches and knows how to help you make the perfect pitch to get the funding for your entrepreneurial dream. He's distilled the process down in his perfect pitch cheat sheet, and it's yours for free. Just text PITCH to him right now at 727-888-2100. Text PITCH to 727-888-2100 right now and claim your free perfect pitch cheat. Text PITCH to 727-888-2100 to start funding your dream today.
This show has been produced by Market Domination, LLC. To discover how you can have your own show completely done for you and turn it into a real published book and become the authority in your marketplace, go to www.marketdominationllc.com/podcast offer.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.